Test Talks, Episode 9.
Number 9, number 9, number 9.
Hit it.
Welcome to the Test Talks Podcast, the place to go to geek out on software testing. And now your host, whose mission is to help you succeed with test automation, Joe Colantonio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Test Talks, a podcast dedicated to all things test automation. I'm your host, Joe, from joecolantonio.com, and today I want to talk about the top five email questions I get asked at joecolantonio.com. So I get a lot of email. Unfortunately, sometimes I'm unable to reply to everyone. So I want to make a quick recording of the top five common email questions I get asked, and hopefully this will save someone some time that maybe listened to this podcast that has an urge to ask a similar question. Hopefully this will answer their question without them having to send an email. So the top five email questions I usually get asked at joecolantonio.com are, number one, can I use Selenium to test a REST service? Number two, how should I go about learning Selenium? Are there any books or video trainings that you recommend? Number three, can you send me the latest HP, QTP, UFT, LoadRunner, ALM patches? Number four, what test tool or technology should I learn? And number five, what's better, QTP or Selenium? Those are the top five email questions I get asked. So let's cover them one through five. So number one, can I use Selenium to test web services or REST services? So as far as I know, I hate answering questions saying absolutely not. Because, you know, who knows, maybe someone has a hack that can do this, but I don't think so. So Selenium really is, it's browser automation. When you go to selenium.hq.org, their banner itself says Selenium Browser Automation. And basically Selenium is for browser automation, UI automation. And so if you're doing any type of API testing, web services, or REST testing, and because of that, they don't have a front end. So you have to interact with them differently than you would when you test a UI-based application. So you need a way to interact with a service without going through a UI to do that. So what I usually tell people to check out for free open source tools are, so SmartBear has a free open source tool called SOAP UI. And SOAP UI is a client-based application that allows you to test APIs. And it comes with a lot of features that allow you to do functional testing against an API. You can data drive test. You can mock services. You could test REST services, web services. It does a bunch of things for you, and it's open source. They do have a version you can buy, which is SOAP UI Pro. I think it's only a few hundred dollars to get that, which just has a more user-friendly UI and kind of has some extra features that the open source doesn't have. But I've only used the open source tool. It does everything that I need. So that's one tool you could take a look at. If you're already using HP's QuickTest Professional or Unified Functional Testing, you should definitely check out Service Test or the newer version UFT API testing license. So with UFT API, you could do all kinds of headless testing. Like database testing, XML testing. It allows you to do JMS testing, FTP testing, all these type of non-UI type based testing, which would include also web service testing and REST testing. If you already use HP's products and you want to have a seamless end-to-end solution, if you're using all the other HP products like ALM, then you should definitely check out HP's UFT API. And actually, just a quick shameless plug, I actually wrote a book on UFT API testing. You could check that out on Amazon. And so the book is called The UFT API Testing Manifesto, a step-by-step hands-on testing guide for the masses. And so I basically wrote that book when UFT API first came out. They first started with a product called Service Test, which was dedicated to just testing non-UI based applications, so basically headless testing, and it was kind of hard to pick up. There was nothing out there, so I just went ahead and created a book as a resource to help other people that may be just trying to get up to speed with the UFT API tool. So that's a resource you can check out to help you get up to speed with that, if that is something that you are looking into. Personally, for myself right now, I'm working on a behavior-driven development framework using Thucydides and JBehave and Java. So all our UI tests are written in Java. So what I really need is I didn't want to have to write a BDD statement and then shell out to like a SOAP UI or an HP product to run my tests for me. I just wanted everyone to be in the same IDE and just straight up use Java code to do their automation. So because they're already using the Selenium Java language binding, you know, I didn't want them to have to bounce back and forth between different tools or different IDE. So what I came across that I found really helpful, and because we're only testing REST services, is a open source library called REST Assured. And it allows you to very easily test and validate complex responses from a REST service. And it supports both XML and JSON requests. And it replaces a lot of boilerplate code you normally would have to write yourself if you were to try to test REST services without the help of REST Assured. For example, I had a team earlier last year that was starting testing REST services, and they created these huge methods to get started to test REST services. And I pointed them to the REST Assured library, and I swear they had about 500 lines of code, and they were able to replace that using the built-in functionality of REST Assured and shrink that down to like 4 lines of code. It was unbelievable. So it really can save you a lot of time and effort just to get started right away, just checking out REST Assured and checking out all the functionality it gives you right out of the box. So you don't have to waste time creating your own methods and classes to do basically what's already available to you. And what I personally really like about REST Assured is because I'm already doing behavior-driven development using a given when then type syntax, REST Assured also has a given when then type syntax you can use to create your tests. So it really works seamlessly with the solution that I have already with Thucydides and JBehave. People that are familiar doing given when thens could then use the same type of given when then Java type syntax to create their tests for REST services. So it's a really nice feature for me. So if you want to learn more about REST Assured, I actually have a few posts on my blog. So make sure to check out the show notes at testtalks.com/09 for links to the post on REST Assured. So the next question I get asked often is, how should I go about learning Selenium? Are there any books or video trainings courses that you recommend? If you're coming from a vendor tool, test tool, there are a lot of things you need to learn in order to get up to speed with Selenium, I think. So the first thing you're going to need is you're going to need to learn a programming language like Java or Ruby or C#. And then you also need to learn Selenium. You need to learn the syntax of Selenium, how to use Selenium. And then on top of that, you need to learn an IDE, a test framework like JUnit or TestNG or NUnit. So there's quite a lot of different pieces that you need to get up to speed with. So the first thing I usually recommend to someone is to pick up the book by Alan Richardson called Java for Testers. What's really great about Java for Testers is that it's really focused on the tester. If you were trying to learn a programming language like Java, you'd probably pick up a book like Java Head First or O'Reilly Java. These books are really focused on developing, but developing from a different point of view than an automation engineer. So what Alan does is he writes this book from the viewpoint of a tester. And so he only focuses on the core functionality you need to learn to get up to speed quick with Java, with the programming language, in order to do test automation using Selenium. So I really highly recommend this book. For anyone that has little or no Java programming experience, this book is excellent. It covers everything you need to know about Java, JUnit, and Maven, and to get up to speed in order to start programming. And then once you get up to speed programming, then you're ready to start Selenium. So you need to at least have some programming language under your belt, because basically when you write Selenium using one of the language bindings is you have to know how to program. So this is like the first step. You learn a programming language. And so what's great about this book is that it's quick, it's easy to read, and then you know you don't need to be a Java expert to get started. It gives you enough knowledge to learn so that when you start looking at Selenium, you can start writing scripts right away and things should fall into place and make sense. So after you finish that book, I would then check out Alan Richardson's training class on Udemy called Selenium WebDriver Basics with Java. So this online course covers basically everything a typical automation engineer would need to get started using Selenium with Java. So it covers in detail all the key concepts you'll need to know to be successful with Selenium Java test automation. and it covers exclusively the Selenium WebDriver API. And so the course has around 230 pre-recorded video lectures, along with some self-learning exercises. And so what's really cool about the course is Alan keeps adding to it. I logged in a few days ago, and I noticed he added a few more courses. So if there's something that comes up that wasn't covered originally, he will add on to the course. Or if there's a question that gets asked often enough within the course, he'll add a video for it. So it's really cool. So I would definitely check out the Selenium WebDriver Basics with Java Video course by Alan Richardson. A few other courses I would definitely recommend checking out is going to Pluralsight.com. And there are two courses by John Samez. One is Creating an Automated Testing Framework with Selenium, and the other one is Automated Web Testing with Selenium. So the Automated Web Testing with Selenium is more of an intro course, which gets you up to speed on all the basics of Selenium using C# and Visual Studio. And the next one is more advanced. It's more about creating a framework. It's Creating an Automated Framework with Selenium. This one is more advanced. It's really fast-paced, but it shows you all the best practices of all the things you need to know in order to create a really good, reusable, maintainable framework. It's written in C#, but the principles are the same no matter what language you're using. So I would definitely highly recommend checking out Creating an Automated Testing Framework with Selenium. So if you check out those three resources, you start with Alan Richardson's book, Java for Testers. You then take the Udemy course for Java. And then you take the Creating an Automated Testing Framework and use those principles you learned to apply to your Java framework. I think you'd be in really good shape. So that's how I would go about learning Selenium. I would use those resources. So another question I get asked all the time is, can you send me the latest HP, QTP, UFT, Loadrunner patch? So when I first started my blog about 4 years ago, I used to post HP's patches under my download section. So anytime there was a patch or a hot fix, I would just go grab it and put it on my download section just as an extra convenience for people, because HP's website is notoriously, I think, hard to find information. So even if you knew the patch number, for me, to go to HP's site, it was really difficult to find. So I figured a lot of other people are probably facing the same issue. And so I thought, hey, I'll post about when a service pack or hotfix is released, and then I have a link to that within my download section. And I actually did this for a couple of years, no issues. And then one day, I got an email from HP's legal department telling me to cease and desist all activities relating to posting HP-related material on my site. They basically threatened legal action if I didn't remove every single patch that I had under my download section. So I had to delete all the patches that I had posted there. And so, I kind of understand why they did this, but I don't agree with the way they went about doing it. But keep in mind, I wasn't profiting from this in any way. In fact, I was almost saving HP money, because rather than someone calling up HP support, they were contacting me and I could easily just point them to my download section. Like I said, the only reason why I did it is because I wanted to have a place that people can go to easily get patches that needed them. So if you had a valid maintenance license, then you should be able to get a patch, without having to go through their website, all these different steps in order to find what you need to, because their product is buggy. But they didn't see it that way. So because of this, I can no longer post any patches or hot fixes on my website, and I cannot email you these patches. So what you have to do is you have to have a valid maintenance license first, and then you need to contact HP support to get the patches or hotfixes that you need. And so I actually wrote a blog post on how to do this. So once again, this information will be in the show notes. So unfortunately, no matter how many times I get asked the question, I always have to respond, sorry, please contact HP support if you want to get a hold of the latest patches. So that's a quick one, but it's also one of the ones that I get asked the most often. So quick answer, go to HP support. So this just reminds me how what a difference it is now. I've been working for the past year and a half on a project that doesn't deal with HP products at all. It's straight up open source tools, and it's difference between night and day between the two approaches. And I'm having such a blast now with Selenium that I can't even imagine going back to doing straight HP testing anymore. So the next question, number four, is what test tool technology should I learn? Now, I don't know why I get asked this question all the time. People are always asking, you know, what should I do? What should I learn? How should I go about it? And really, the answer to that question depends. You know, I know that's kind of annoying, but it actually depends on what your situation is. And based on that, then you can decide, you know, what you wanted to study further in order to further your career in test automation. So at the beginning of the year, I always do a set of things that I do in order to get up to speed on what skills are in demand and you know, to try to find out if there's anything that any gaps in my learning that I need to learn. So if for some reason I get laid off, that I still have skills that are in demand that I can easily find another job because I kept up to speed with the industry. So that's one thing you always want to do. You always want to keep your skills up to date. Never become complacent. Never become committed to a tool or a technology. Always be willing to learn. And if you do so, you should have a job no matter what. In this post, I lay out three tools that I use in order to answer that question. What test tool or technology should I learn? I use Simply Hired Keyword Trends, and I use this to see how often a certain test automation word appears within Simply Hired job postings. So knowing which words are trending upward helps me decide which skills I should focus on during the upcoming year. And then I also go to Indeed.com. So I use Indeed.com to check current test automation job listings in my area. So jobs posted in my area may be different than jobs listed in your area. So these are jobs that are in demand, what people are currently looking for and the companies that are currently looking. And so I'm in the Boston Providence area, so that's where I check. And so those skills may be different than ones that are in demand, say, in Bangalore, India, right? They might be different. They might not. I don't know. So that's why I say the answer depends. Is I would use these three tools that I'm mentioning now to try to gauge what's in demand in your area. In order for you to answer that question, what test tool or technology you should learn. So Indeed.com is one of those tools that I use to check out. It helps me research what companies are hiring and just to have a background check on these companies, what kind of tools they use now, so I can learn them also. So if, like I said, I ever got laid off or I ever had to relocate, I know companies automatically that have certain tools that I'm interested in, and so I can focus my job search on those particular companies. If that ever occurred. So another tool I use also is Google Trends. So I use this to see how many times a certain skill is searched for. And this basically helps me determine whether an interest in a particular skill is growing or not. So say I have a big interest in Python or in Ruby, I'd go to Google Trends and just do a search for that and just see, you know, is it trending up or trending down? So before I learn something, I want to make sure, is it in demand and is that demand growing or is it in demand but it's trending downward? So if I really took the time and effort to put in to learn that tool, is it still going to be popular when I'm proficient with it? So Google Trends helps me actually answer those types of questions. So I know this isn't really a scientific method, but it is a method I use at least a few times a year just to make sure that I am working on my personal growth, that I am looking to tools and technologies that are in demand. And also, it's not only just for people that want to change jobs, it's also to make sure that I'm staying current within my job that I'm currently in, and that when people are looking for solutions within my current job, I'm offering up things that are new and things that are best practices now and not relying on something that may have made sense a few years ago. So it also helps me become a better employee. So either way, it's a win-win, whether you're looking for a new position or you just want to make sure that you're the best you can be within your current position. I would check out those three tools I have listed in that post to kind of use as a compass to make sure you're pointed in the right area and you're focusing on the right things. So that's number four. What test tool or technology should I learn? One of my most popular posts, I have a post called Selenium Sucks, QTP Rules. And I just gave it that title just to be a little shocking and to get people to read the blog post. And basically, I'm not serious. I don't mean that Selenium sucks, QTP rules. I'm just saying that for some reason, people become aligned to certain tools. They become loyal to tools. Basically, what I'm trying to say is you shouldn't be loyal to a test tool. You should be loyal to the principles of test automation and testing and learn as much about those principles so you can apply that to any tool. So if a tool you're using becomes obsolete, you could still use the skills you have to go to another tool because you already know the best practices for doing test automation, regardless of what tool you're using. So there is no best tool, Selenium or QTP. One is not better than the other. It depends on your situation. If you're working in a company and everyone uses QuickTest Professional and they're using a Visual Basic application to test against or some really old school client-side application that's not browser-based, then in fact, QTP would be the right choice for you. That's the tool you should use and learn. But if you're in a startup company and your application is just web-based, then I would say you probably want to check out Selenium first and make sure that and see if it can handle what you need to test before you invest in an actual test tool where you have to spend money on. So one tool is not better than the other. They both have their strengths. They both have their weaknesses. And each one covers pretty much different domains almost. So Selenium is exclusively on web-based application testing. So if you're in a company that doesn't do any web-based applications, I don't know where that would be now, but I'm sure there are cases, then QTP would be the tool for you. But however, like I said, there are instances where Selenium would be the better option. So there is no such thing as one sucks, one is better. They're both good. They're both good tools. They're both industry standards. I say go with the one that makes sense for your project that you're working on and don't become so fixed on the particular tool. You just want to be able to add value to your company and be able to automate things quick and easily and reusable and reliably as possible. So find whatever tool that is that works for you and go with it. So don't be a test tool fanboy. Just pick a tool that works for you and that's the one I would use. So those are the answers to the top five email questions I get asked at joecollinsherry.com. Can I use Selenium to test a REST service? How should I go about learning Selenium? Can you send me the latest HP QTP patch? What test tool technology should I learn? And what's better, QTP or Selenium? Hopefully that was helpful. Let me know your thoughts. If you have any questions for me, you can always drop me a line at feedback@testtalks.com with any question you would like answered on an upcoming episode of Test Talks. Okay, if you're using HP's products, I just wanted to give you a quick HP patch alert update. HP recently released HP UFT Critical Patch 2 release for UFT 11.53, which is a critical patch, so they recommend you do download it. It fixes a bunch of issues. Some WPF object recognition issues have been resolved, UFT hanging while spying on Java application objects, some weird Firefox issues, a bunch of other issues. So if you're seeing any odd behavior with UFT 11.53, I highly recommend that you check out the patch 2 for UFT. The name of the patch is UFT_00068. Also, HP released a patch for LoadRunner 11.52 patch 2, which also resolves a bunch of issues. So if you use either of those products, make sure to head on over to HP support and take a look at whether or not those patches resolve any issues that you may be currently dealing with. Thank you for joining me on Test Talks. And remember, you can find the links to everything of value that we talked about today in the show notes at www.testtalks/09. And as always, test everything and keep the good. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Test Talks podcast. Head on over to www.testtalks.com for full show notes, amazing blog articles, and other automation awesomeness.